Tonight, our learning is sponsored by Terry Aronoff in memory of his grandmother, Rachel Yitzka Bas David Zichrona Levracha, Gary Hoff in memory of his father, Asher Ben Yosef Zichrona Levracha, Sarah and Shmuel Maggot in memory of Sarah's mother, Rachel Bas Eliezer Zichrona Levracha, Sahaba and Hank Reinhardt in memory of Hank's sister, Tzipora Bas Gershon Eliezer Zichrona Levracha, and by Pauline Schneider in memory of her father, Mordechai Ben Asher Anshel HaKohen Zichrona Levracha. Today is going to be our final shiur of the Zman. I think it's going to be our final shiur before Pesach. And it is going to be our final shiur on the topic of Eidach HaNem and Bisurin as well. After we move from Eidach HaNem and Bisurin, we're going to get into the heart of Shtaros, some of the real sugyas at the core of Maseches Gittin and the concept of Gittin as well. But tonight we're going to finish up Eidach HaNem and Bisurin. Now, really, before we even get into tonight's Marim Makomos, I want to do one final piece of mapa on the sugya that we were discussing last week. All right, you might call the sub sugya that we were discussing last week, which is the question of whether Eidos functions, Eidach HaNem and Bisurin, functions as Eidos or Ne'emanus. You may recall, we were discussing a question as to the paradigm under which Eidach HaNe'eman Be'isurin operates. Is the emphasis really on the word aid? He's really an aid, and there happens to be an exception that within the realm of Isurin, you only require one aid as opposed to other areas of Halacha, particularly Mamonos and Nefashos, where you require two. Or is the focus on Ne'eman? He has Ne'emanus, like other areas, we give other paradigms in Halacha, where somebody has Ne'emanus, even though they don't rise to the level of Eidos. And we know that's likely a machlokus between the Ksos and the Nesivos, and we suggest that it might be a machlokus Rishonim as well. Now, in passing, I think several of you raised the question that I did reference at the time, that I said is an important question at the time. That's why, again, it's really not our topic right now. We'll discuss it vaguely outside or broadly outside. The question of an Eidachad's role in other areas of Halacha. An Eidachad does operate outside the realm of Isurin. Its most prominent role is in Isurin, Eidach HaNe'eman Bisurin. But we do have a role for a place for an Eidach in other areas of Halacha as well. Particularly when it comes to Mamonos, what's the Halacha of Eidach HaBedinei Mamonos? An Eidach could be Mechayiv Shvua. We have a principle, the Gemara Shvua, Sondaf Memon Aleph, that says, Kol Makom Sheh, Shnei Mechayiv Mamon, Echad Mechayiv Shvua. In any case where you have Eidin, that could be Mechayiv Mamon, an Eidach could be Mechayiv a Shvua. So if an Eidach testifies that Reuven owes Shimon money, that's not enough evidence and based in to actually require Reuven to pay Shimon, but it is enough to require Reuven to take a shuvu. Okay? Now, the Machlok Dushonim, between Tosfos and the Ran, at least possibly Machlok between Tosfos and the Ran, again, we're not going to get into all the details here, but how exactly to understand that principle. And let me highlight it to you through the following case. This is actually the case that Tosfos and the Ran discuss. Let's say there's a circumstance where an Eidach testifies, again, for argument's sake, that Reuven owes Shimon money. Okay? So ordinarily speaking, what would Reuven have to do in this circumstance? He'd have to take a shvua. No, I don't know what he's talking about. I don't owe Shimon money. For whatever reason, he takes a shvua that he doesn't owe Shimon money. Now let's say there's a scenario where Reuven can't take the shvua. He can't take the shvua. So there could be several reasons why he might not be able to take the shvua. This in part touches on a classic sugya in Maseches Rav Vasa called Naska de Rebbe Abba or Niska de Rebbe Abba. Which is a scenario where he can't take the shvua, but that we're not going to get into those nuances now. That's a very complex sugya and an important sugya. That's a rich sugya in Maseches Avot Basra, the third parak. Let's work with a more simple case. Let's say what the aide testified was not just that Reuven owes Shimon money, that he owes Shimon a plot of land. This land that Reuven claims is his is really Shimon's. In that scenario, Reuven is not allowed to take a shvua. Why not? Because we have a principle that dictates ein nishba'in ala karkos. For whatever reason, you can't take a shvua on a piece of land. So you have an Eidach testifying against Reuven that he owes this piece of land, and Reuven, really by no fault of his own, due to a legal technicality, is not able to take a shvua. What should the halacha be in that circumstance? What should the halacha be?
Maybe you should take a shvua and make
Mammon. He's testifying about the land. He's not testifying about Mammon, right? So Hamotzi Mechaberu Olav Araya. So Ari says he's supposed to be Mechayev Shvua, but he can't take a Shvua in this case. No fault of his own. So you're saying no Chiyuv Mammon. Hamotzi Mechaberu Olav Araya. Okay, sounds reasonable. Is there any alternative?
Maybe the litigant takes a Shvua and takes the money from Reuven takes a Shvua.
That Reuven, no, Reuven can't take the Shvua. That's what we said. He can't take the Shvua because ain't Shvua not like our cross.
If Shimon take a Shvua, that he does owe me money.
That would also be a Shvua on Karka, right? First of all, there's a big chiddush in what you're saying. We're not learning about Shvuas right now, but there's a big difference between Nishba v'Niftar and Nishba v'Notel. In other words, right, Reuven taking a shvuah to say that he's pater is one thing. Shimon taking a shvuah to say that Reuven is chayiv to him, that's what we call a nishba v'notah. That's a much bigger finish. But even if we would grant that, right, it's still karka. That doesn't seem like it would help. So is Ari's solution the only solution?
Say that it is raya, but you can't.
Namely, you could say that Amozi Behar of Haraya, he has a raya. What's his raya? Yeah. He has an eight on his side. So generally speaking, you can weasel your way out of my raya with the eight echad by taking the shvuah. In this circumstance, you can't weasel your way out by taking the shvuah. So what should the halacha be? You're chayiv to pay. In other words, the conceptual question that we're raising right now is how do we understand eight echad mechayiv shvuah? One option is to say he is mechayiv a shvuah. That's what he's mechayiv, right? And if Reuven refuses to take the shvuah because he's shady or suspicious or something like that, then we say, you know what? That's turned into a chayiv mamon. But if he can't take the shvuah because of a legal technicality, because we won't allow him to take the shvuah, that's not his fault. And like Ari says, what are you going to do? What's the alternative? An eid echad is not mechayiv shvuah. What is an eid echad really mechayiv fundamentally? He's mechayiv mamon. Reuven has the option of getting out of that chayiv mamon by taking a shvuah. And if there's an instance where he can't take the shvuah, even if it's due to a legal technicality, I'm sorry, Reuven, right? You have an eid echad against you who is testifying that you owe money. In other words, what are we really saying when we say that an eid echad is mechayiv shvuah? Are we saying that he really is mechayiv a shvuah, and it's the refusal to take the shvuah that actually creates a chiyuv mamon? Or no, do we say that the eid echad creates a chiyuv mamon, and it's just an out clause that he Reuven could take the shvuah in order to get out of the chiyuv mamon that's generated by the eid himself? That appears to be a machlokas between Tosfos and the Ran. Now, it happens to be in the circumstance we described, everybody would agree that Reuven is puter. But the question is why, and that question of why, which again, we're not going to get into details now, the question of why is machlokas between Tosfos and the Ran, and it might speak to this broader machlokas that we are actually, this broader conceptual question that we are describing. Now, why might that be important for us? So which view you take will speak volumes about the stature and status of an eid echad. If you take the approach that says that an eid can really be mechayev mamo, he's really being mechayev money, just with the clause that Reuven can, again, get out of it by taking a shvuah, then you're saying that an eid echad is really quite similar to shnayim eidim. He really has the ability to be mechayev mamo. The difference is that when there's an eid echad, he has an out clause. When there's shnayim eidim, he doesn't have an out clause. But an eid echad is really being mechayev mamo, similar to the way shnayim eidim are mechayev mamo. If you take the first view that he's just mechayev shvuah, you could say that shnayim eidim and eid echad are two totally separate institutions, they're two totally separate entities, and his ability to be mechayev shvuah has nothing to do with the ability of shnayim eidim to actually be mechayev mamon. So you see that there are other areas, the way an eid echad expresses in other areas of halacha, kind of bearing on our question as to how much he actually has eidos status or ne'emanos status. I'll just give you one other example again. And each of these examples can be mined fully. We could spend a full shiur or multiple shiur on any of these examples, but I'll give you another one. The Gemara Kiddushin Daf Samech Hei mentions a chiyuv to have eidos on kiddushin. That's what we call eidos l'kiyum hadavar. Usually speaking, let's say we're doing a monetary transaction. We don't need eidim on a monetary transaction. Transaction is binding even in the absence of eidim. If I want to subsequently prove it in court, it's probably a good practice to have witnesses on our monetary transaction. But if I sell you something and witnesses aren't there, the sale is valid. When it comes to kiddushin, you need eidim present. And if a kiddushin is done without eidim present, the bride and the groom could shout from the rooftops that they engaged in the whole procedure. They said the harayat, they bought the ring, et cetera, et cetera. If there are no witnesses there, the kiddushin is no good. That's what's called eidos l'kiyum hadavar. That's why we have the two witnesses that come up, and we have all those questions, and we have the chassan designate the eidim as his eidim, et cetera, et cetera. That's eidos l'kiyum hadavar. There's a hava amina in the Gemara Kiddushin Daf Samachay that an eid echad would suffice for eidos l'kiyum hadavar. Now, it's ultimately rejected. But like by every Hava Amina, the question for us is, how much is it rejected because the premises or the underlying assumptions of the Hava Amina were faulty? Or do we say the underlying assumptions were sound, but they were just taken to too far an extreme? Now, again, in the context of Eidos L'Kiyum HaDavar, we'd have to get into a whole separate discussion about the nature of Eidos L'Kiyum HaDavar and how it differs from other forms of Eidos. That's a major machlokas we've shown in between the Rashba and the Ritva. But without getting into that, again, added level of nuance, if we return to our discussion of Eid Echad, if an Eid Echad is not really an Eid, if he just has ne'emanus, right, we can believe him when he is, well, we can believe the balabasta when she tells us that the meat that she's serving at the table is kosher. But there's no Eidos status, there's no witness status. And could you ever entertain the possibility that Na'amanus alone is going to actually work as Eidos on a Kiddushin? Presumably not. Is it impossible to say that? I confess to you openly, no, but we're not going to get into the nuances of that. It's unlikely that you'd say that the Eidos would be, you'd even entertain the possibility that you can serve as an Eid on a Kiddushin. If we're saying that an Eid Echad really does have Eid status, he is a full halachic witness, but he's just limited in what areas he could testify, then perhaps it would actually be a conceivable Havamina to say that an Eid Echad, at least in instances where the Chasan and Kala acknowledge, they both agree that they did the Kiddushin, it would be possible to say that an Eid Echad would be sufficient to solemnize the Kiddushin and serve as Eidos on a Kiddushin as well. So you do have, again, these are just two areas where you have these similar questions about the status of Eid Echad, even outside the realm of Isur, operating in other areas. Dine Mamanus, we gave one example, and Eidos Lakiyam Adavar for Kiddushin being a second example. You have these questions in other areas of Shas pertaining to the status of the Eid Echad. A question, Zach, you have a question? Okay, good. Any further questions before we go into tonight's topic? So, now, if I've done enough damage to our Eid Echad already by saying that he's not a real Eid, that he only has Na'amanus, tonight we're going to limit his status even further. We're going to potentially suggest that we don't even really believe in Eid Echad when he tells us something. That's rather counterintuitive considering that our sugya is Eid Echad Ne'eman Be'isurin. But is it possible that in truth, Eid Echad is not just not an Eid, he doesn't even really have Na'amanus, and Eid Echad Ne'eman Be'isurin means something else entirely? Here, we return to a line in our Gemara that we've referenced several times already. And we've noted an ambiguity in this line, but it's an ambiguity that we are going to explore more fully now. Our Gemara began, the way we got into this topic in the first place was with the opening Mishnah in Maseches Gittin that declares that a shliach from Medina Sayam to Eretz Yisrael, if he's traveling a long way with the get, what does he need to declare? He needs to say, b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechtam. And once he says that, his testimony asserting the kashrus of the get is accepted. And even if somebody challenges the kashrus of the get at a later point, we accept the get as valid. That's how we started all of this. So the Gemara asked, why is he believed? So the Gemara in Gittin Daf Beis Amud Beis says, maybe it was because of Eid Echad Ne'eman Be'isurim. Maybe this is Isurim, and maybe he should be believed based on the principle of Eid Echad Ne'eman Be'isurim. And the Gemara promptly rejected that. Source number one, Amor De Amrinan Eid Echad Ne'eman Be'isurim. When do we say that a single aid is believed in matters of Isurim? Kegon Chaticha, Safek Shal Chelev, Safek Shal Shuman. When you have a piece of meat, and you have a Safek as to whether it is a kosher piece of meat or a non-kosher piece of meat or really a piece of fat, when you have a question as to whether it's kosher fats or non-kosher fats, that is when we will accept the testimony of an Eid Echad to assert one way or the other. Why? Delo Ischazek Isura. Because there's no Chazaka. There's no prevailing halachic assumption going in of Isur, of prohibition. Aval hacha. But here, in our case, where he is asserting that a woman has gone through a kosher divorce, the ischazek isura de eshes ish, where there is an ingoing assumption of Isur. Why? Because her previous status was eshes ish. She was prohibited to the entire world. She wasn't allowed to marry anyone. She was married to one man exclusively. And he's trying to assert that she's allowed to marry anyone. So he is taking a confined confined Isur. He's taking a prohibition and he's effectively obliterating it, creating heter. Have a davar sheb erva. In that case, it's a davar sheb erva. Ve'ein davar sheb erva pachos mishnayim. When it comes to a davar sheb erva, you can't have less than two. And what was the ambiguity that we noted already several times in this Gemara? Sorry?
He's not really doing it.
She has a shtar, but he's the one who's asserting that it was done lishma, right? It's
strengthening the document that exists.
Okay. I hear what you're saying, Yitz, but the Gemara seems to be saying that's not enough. In other words, if there's a profound question regarding the kashrus of this document, and we're relying on his testimony alone, even though there were other edim on those stages of the signing of the get, right? We don't even know if this is a kosher get in the first place. We don't know if it was done lishma. It's very nice that they signed the document, but if it wasn't done halachically, then it's no good. So the Gemara is assuming that that's not enough. There's an intrinsic ambiguity within the lines of the Gemara that we just read, within the second line of the Gemara that we just read. Second line of source number one. Let me ask a more pointed question.
two chazakas working at the same time. Why does she spot the kashdad? But she has a chazaka, so she's a ashesish.
Right, but again, but that's similar to the point that Yitz is making. The chazaka on the shtar is not going to do anything. The shtar is not kosher, right?
So the chazaka of
Eish Hashish
is stronger than
that's what the Gemara is clearly assuming here, right? There's chazak isur the Eish Hashish. Here's my question: why? It seems like a simple question, but what? Why does Eid Echa Ne'eman, according to the conclusion of the Gemara, or basically just the two lines that we just read, why doesn't Eid Echa Ne'eman be isur and work for Bafanei Nechta Bafanei Nechta? Why not? Davar Shebe'erva. Anyone want to offer a different answer? It's Chazak Isura. So the ambiguity emerges from the two answers that you just offered, right? Let's just look at these two lines carefully one more time. We're going to read them again. When do we say that Eid Echad is Ne'eman B'Isurin? When you have a piece of, again, animal fats and you don't know if it's kosher or not kosher. Why? Delo is Chazak Isura. Because there's no Chazkas Isur. Now, what should the answer be? Abal Hacha. The ischazik isura. What would the end of the gemara be? Eid echad, lo neman, ain't a neman b'isurin, or something to that effect, right? It seems like it's setting up a contrast that we're coming to expect. Oh, eid echad is believed when there's no ischazik isura, but then the gemara throws us a curveball. It starts by going in the direction that we would expect. Abahacha de ischazik isura de eish asish. Here, where there is cheskas isur, now the conclusion of the gemara should be eino neman. It should be those two words, but instead the gemara throws in heve. There's a davar shebe erva and no davar shebe erva less than two. So which is it? What is the reason? What's the dominant reason at the end of the day why the Eid Echad is not Ne'eman? Is it because it's Chazak Isura or because of davar shebe erva? We're not the only ones that are confused by that question. The Rishonim are confused by that question too. If you look in source number two, it tells us to say, have a davar shebe erva. Hay denoka davar shebe erva. That which, the Gemara here mentions davar shebe erva. Omeri. Re-explains Bisham Devel Isha Rabba because Nivam Mustafa Chesam and Aleph. It's a very similar Shakam Tari over there. Bishar Isure, when it's talking about other Isurim, Kagon Tevel, Behekdesh, Mekonamos. Other examples of Isurim, Tevel, we saw already, Hekdesh, Konamos, all sorts of, again, what we would call Isure Hafla, cases where you prohibited something because of a verbal declaration. You declared something off limits to yourself. You declared it hektish, you declared that it belongs to the mikdash, or you just prohibited it to yourself, similar to a neder or shvua. In those instances, misaf galan imehemen, afilu ischazak yisura bela biyada olam. The way Tosfos read the Gemara there, and again, we're not gonna get into the weeds of the Shaka Batari and misaf sivamos, but the way Tosfos read the Gemara there is unsure whether or not an eid echad is believed by general ischazak yisura. Let's say we are not dealing with davar shebe erva, we're dealing with a regular case of eid echad ne'eman be'isurin, but it is a chazak isura. It's not like we have a piece of meat where we don't know what its status is. We have a piece of meat where the ingoing assumption was that it was aser. According to Tosvos, we have a machlokes. It's not clear whether the eid echad is believed in those cases or not, and therefore to cover its bases, the Gemara throws in davar shebe erva as well. So what Tosvos are saying is we actually have a machlokes as to whether or not an Eid Echad is believed in cases of Ischazek Isura. And we actually see this expressed as a Machlokas Rishonim. Tosfos are just mentioning that there are two opinions on the issue. This is actually debated by the Rishonim themselves. Take a look at source number three. Source number three is the Ramban. Again, commenting on our Gemara. Aval hacha Ischazek Isura de Eishas Ish, have a Dabar Sheva Erva. Here, where there's Ischazek Isura, she's an Eishas Ish, therefore it's a Dabar Sheva Erva. Says the Ramban in the first bold line of source number three. Kashili, this is a little bit difficult to me. Hakivan de ischazik isura, because it's ischazik isura, afilu bishar isurim namilo. Even if this weren't the case of erva, he still should not be believed. That is, in essence, our question. Once you told me that he's only believed in cases where it's not ischazik isura, why are you throwing in this added reason of davar shebe erva? Ischazik isura should be enough. And even if this weren't davar shebe erva, he should not be believed either. Now he's citing the same Gemara as Tosfos, but you'll see how the Ramban reads the Gemara. The way the Ramban reads that Gemara in Yivamos is not a suffix in the Gemara as to whether an Eid Echad is believed when facing the opposition of Ischazik Isura. The way the Ramban reads the Gemara is that it concludes simply that he is not believed in cases where he is running up against Ischazik Isura. So why do we have the extra line here? And then again, source number three now, second line towards the end of the line after the comma. The Dusha Be'erva, Apilu Lo Ischazek Isura Nami, Ein Pachos Mishnayim. He says, when it comes to a Dusha Be'erva, you also need two Eidim, even if it's not Ischazek Isura. In other words, the Ramban is telling us that Ischazek Isura and Dusha Be'erva are two entirely separate factors, and either having either one without the presence of the other would in and of themselves be sufficient to require two Eidim. What would be a case of Davar Sheva Erva where there aren't two Eidim? Where there isn't Iskazik Isura, I'm sorry? Yet he's telling us that even Davar Sheva Erva without Iskazik Isura would require two Eidim. Where would you have Davar Sheva Erva without Iskazik Isura?
Regular Kedushin, Eidim
Kedushin. Okay, great. So in a scenario where, in other words, what are you saying? She is currently Muteres, and he is trying to create the Isur, right? That's not Iskazik Isura. The Eid is trying to do the opposite. And that's what Ramban articulates in the third line of source number three. If you go to the sixth word there, va'afilu la'ezor nami ein pachos mishnayim kede amrinan beperek ha'ish mekadesh. That is the Gemara that we were referencing, that you need two Eidim on a Kiddushin in order to create an Isur there. So the Ramban is saying that both either Dabash of Erva or Ischazik Isura is sufficient to require two Eidim. You don't need both. So how does the Ramban answer? He says, there's another gears in the Gemara. Second bold line of source number three. Is noski de lo garsi hachi. There are other nuskaos that don't have this ambiguity that is embedded within our Gemara. What is the nusach in that Gemara? Ela aval hacha de eschazik isura de ish es ish. Lo. Right? Exactly what we would have crafted the Gemara. Here, where there is eschazik isura of ish es ish, simple word, lo. I.e., he is not believed without ever introducing the additional factor of davar sheva erva. That's how the Ramban prefers the Gemara. He says, ve'igar sinan, and then after the bold, he says, ve'igar sinan lay. And if you do want to have that gears of davar sheva erva, hachi gar sinan, this is what you have to say. Have a davar sheva erva, and it's also a davar sheva erva. Chenami peperka isha rabba, upirsh techada ve'od ka'amrina. You have to say that the Gemara is giving you two reasons why he's not Ne'aman. Eschazik Isura is one reason. And the second reason is davar sheva erva. We sometimes have that chada ve'od ka'amrina. It's giving you two separate reasons why he's not believed. It says the Ramban at the end below Nahira. I don't like that read of the Gemara. If you ask the Ramban what his preference is, it's for the girsa that is not our girsa in the Gemara that only identifies one factor, namely the factor of eschazik yisura. No davar sheva erva. Erase davar sheva erva from our Gemara. It's totally irrelevant to our discussion. Evidently, according to the Ramban, is an eid echad believed in cases of eschazik yisura? Absolutely not. Even in the absence of davar sheva erva, if an eid echad runs up against eschazik isura, he is not believed. This seems to be disputed by the Rush. If you look at the Rush in Gittin Daf and Dalam, now let's first number four. Hecha de eschazik isura, the eid echad amar heter, who? He says, if you have eschazik isura, and the eid echad says heter, eino ne'eman de izab perika isha rabba. No, I'm sorry, this is the same as the Ramban. The Rush also adopts the view that he is not Ne'eman. He says that he is not Ne'eman, as we see in Parakah Isha Rabbah, Gabi Hekta Shav Lekonamos, Ne'eman and Ha'pailim, Shem De B'yadu L'takein, Ha'acher De La B'yad Olah. The Rush also adopts the view that he is not believed in the face of Eschazik Isura. Who is the Rishon that says that he is believed in the face of Eschazik Isura? I think it may just be that day in Tosfos. I'm pretty sure there was another Rishon that says that he's believed in the face of Eschazik Isura. You at least have one day in Tosfos that considers that possibility, despite the Ramban and the Rush explicitly adopting the view that he is not believed in the case of Eschazik Isura, and that is the psak that we adopt as well. If you look at the psak of the Ramban in Yerodeya, the Ramban paskins that an eid echad is not believed when he runs up against Eschazik Isura. Now, here's the big question. Should he be believed or should he not when he faces a chazaka of Isur? Should we believe in eid echad against Eschazik Isura or should we not? And why would you take one view or the other view? We've been kind of running with that assumption that an eid echad is not believed in cases of eschazik isura because we were kind of reading the Gemara the way the Ramban read the Gemara. But now I ask you the question of why. If we say that an eid echad has ne'emanus, excuse me one second, Ari. If we say that an eid echad has ne'emanus, why should this impediment of chazaka somehow be stronger than the eid echad? Ari, go ahead.
What is an example of
Eschazik Isura?
That an aid would testify is not. A piece of me that we know is not kosher.
Okay. It is kosher. So let's deal with the case that Tosfos mentioned, right? Tosfos were upset with Rashi because they said one case was Biyado rather than an actual case of and Eschazik Isura with Biyado rather than a case of actual Eidach Anam Beisirin. What were Rashi's examples? His examples were Afreshes Truma, Shchita, Nikur. Remind me, what was the last one? Somebody get me a Gemara and Gittin. There was one other example that Rashi took issue with. That was a classic example of schazik isura. That was a classic example of schazik isura with biyado to overcome it, and that's where Tosos took issue. I don't think it was any of the three examples that I just gave, even though any of them technically could have been constructed as schazik isura. Base. I'll give you the example in a second. But one example, Ari, would be Eish HaZish, right?
That's
Dabar Sheva Erva. So if you want one outside of Dabar Sheva Erva, it was, what was the example of Tosos? Help me out. Who remembers? Oh, it was Hafrashas Truma. Hafrashas Truma he was bothered by. Hafrashas Truma. Tosos were bothered by Hafrashas Truma. Because it starts as Tevel, it's Chazak Yisura, and then you're asserting that it's okay, right? Now, mind you, Tosos said that's a little bit different because you have biyado in that case. But absent the biyado factor, which is how we started this whole sugya, but absent the biyado factor, he asserted that that would be a problem of the schazik yisura. It was a fresh truma that he took issue with. Now, I'll just point out, shechita could also be constructed as a schazik yisura. I think we mentioned this at the time, because what do you have by shechita? You have evrim menachai, so there's an isra there also. Now, it's quite evident that after the shechita, the mitzius of evrim menachai has been removed, right? In other words, there's no kshash anymore that it's Eber Menachai. But if you're just assessing as Chazak Yisura halachically speaking, then the Isra could potentially continue. That's interesting as well. And even the instance of Nikura Gid, which Tosos say is not as Chazak Yisura, is potentially treated as Chazak Yisura by I think, the Shach as well. Because there too, it's the assumption is that the meat is Usur until you remove the Gedanash. Again, without getting into those nuances, my simple question is, should he be believed in instances of his Chazak Yisura when it comes up against him or no? And what is the question at the end? Now, you can assert, give me one second, that it's a quantitative issue. It's just a question of how strong is the Ne'emanus of an Eidecha. And when he runs up against the Chazaka against him, is he strong enough to overcome it or is he not? It could purely be quantitative. But I would suggest that perhaps it could be qualitative as well.
There is no... It's just a suffering. It's establishing a fact. Whereas with Chazaka, there's proof that has to be overcome.
There's a reality. It's one thing. He's changing it to something else.
Right.
He's saying, we're mafresh.
Okay.
That's trusted him.
As opposed to Lois Chazak Yisura?
Lois Chazak Yisura, I know what to do.
Okay.
What is the nature of a Chazaka?
Okay.
Think about when you own land, you have the land for 3 years, so the macha, there's a coal that you own it.
Right.
So maybe the chazaka, that coal, in essence, is a form of Aedas. So if
Okay, great. So I'm gonna zoom out for a second, and I'm just gonna like make a conceptual comment on what Zach just said. Zach correctly realizes, right, because we've been talking about this all along, that if we're gonna properly assess this issue, we have to raise two questions, right? We have to raise a question of what is the nature of Eidecha Nehem and Bisurim, and we also have to raise the question of what is the nature of Chazaka and Chazak Yisura, right? Again, so we've been talking about that all along. Very frequently, these questions involve the overlap between two different areas of halacha. Were we studying Baba Basra, okay, we'd get more into the Chazaka questions. We're going to leave the Chazaka questions aside for now. What is the role of Trey Edim versus Chazaka? We know that two Edim overcome a Chazaka. What about Chazaka in cases of Trey Utrey? Let's say you have two Edim versus two Edim. Does a Chazaka play a role in those cases? So these are all some of the rich Chazaka questions that, like you said, would be third parak of Baba Basra questions. But for our purposes, we'll focus on Eidecha Nehem and Bisurim.
Is it eight versus Nehemanas?
But it is a good question to raise. In other words, yes, when we're thinking about the question. Is it potentially Eidus versus Ne'emanus? Why?
Maybe Eidus cannot overcome a Chazak Yisur, but maybe if there's a special Ne'emanus with an individual that may be able to...
I would have said the other way. That Zach was actually implicitly saying the other way. If we're going to work within the prism of Eid versus Ne'emanus, an Eidus is usually stronger than just Ne'emanus. So maybe, again, within what I was calling the quantitative distinction, maybe an Eidus is strong enough to overcome the Chazak Yisur, but Ne'emanus is not. That's the way I would go with it. And that's certainly a plausible explanation, but I think there might be something even more appealing here. Are you going to say something?
I was going to also point out it is versus Ne'emanus, but like you said, I think Ne'emanus, we saw a case of Ne'emanus where he's believed without Isur, forget it, by Mamanus and
right,
other cases.
Potentially.
So it's how they Isur doesn't matter here because he could be believed even if there weren't Isur involved.
Right.
Whereas Eidus, he's not giving proper Eidus here.
So you were going to go in the same direction that Steve was going in a moment ago.
Right.
Okay, again, I'd naturally be inclined in the other direction just based on the purely quantitative assessment that Eidus is usually stronger than Ne'emanus.
Maybe Eidus is more restrictive because calling him a witness versus versus a nebulous concept of nemanos, which may be able to.
So there are instances where, to put it in the words of my Rebbe, Rav Rosenzweig, he would say, its strength is gufa, its weakness, right? There could be certain circumstances where the higher standard actually makes it harder to apply. But I'm not sure that would be the case here. I think I would go in a similar direction to, I think, what David was articulating or somewhat articulating a moment ago. And it really goes back to what I was almost suggesting at the outset. Do we even really believe in Eidach or not? Now, of course, we do to some degree. We do say Eidach ne'eman be'isur. But there could be two ways through which you could view the Eidach. Well, we already saw there are more than two ways. The Eidos ne'emanos. But even with the ne'emanos, we can limit the Eid further. Do we really believe in a court of law that what the Eid is saying is true? We recognize it as truth or a certain threshold of truth and we treat it as such? Or do we just treat it as a birur suffik? There are certain instances in halacha where we have a suffik. We don't really know what to do. We don't really know what the truth is. And when we have suffik, we have certain laws about how to navigate sfeikos in halacha. What are the two most famous laws about how to navigate sfeikos in halacha? Sfeika de oraisa l'chomra, sfeika de rabbanon l'kula. When we say that, does that mean that we've actually determined what the metzius is? That if it's a de oraisa case, we know that the suffik is actually we need to be machmir because we've determined what the reality is on the ground? That's not what we're saying. We're just saying that the stakes are sufficiently high that we need to be machmir in the case of sfeika de oraisa. That's the pashtus about how to understand it. When it comes to sfeika de rabbanon, we're saying that the stakes are lighter, so we're licensed to be lenient in a case of suffik, or perhaps the Rabbanon themselves built into the Rabbanon's kula for Sfeika de Rabbanon kula. That's again, that's a lumpus within Sfeika de Rabbanon kula. But in both those instances, it's quite evident to us that we haven't actually answered the suffik. What have we done? We've come up with a rule or a principle on how to act in instances where that uncertainty is present, because uncertainty is simply a reality of life. How do we view Eidach HaNeman B'Yisurim? In that case of suffik, chelev, suffik, shuma, have we really, epistemologically speaking, have we really resolved our suffik? And once he says that it's shuman, we believe him and we say that, oh, now it's mutter to eat? Is that what we're saying? Or we're saying, no, look, there's suffik. And one of the principles of suffik is that when an eidach steps in and asserts that one side is true, we can't definitively say that it's true or not. We know we generally have a principle of pishnayim edim yakum davar. But here, it at least gives us the license to operate on the basis of what he's saying. Similar to Sfeika de Orais l'chumra, or perhaps even more similar to Sfeika de Rabbanan l'kula. Now, if we use that last paradigm, that all an Eid Echad is Birur Safek, then can you ever rely on him in cases of a Chazak Isura? No. Why not? Because Chazak Isura is not a Safek. You're not entering with a Safek. You're entering with the defined halachic assumption as to what exactly the conclusion is. So this whole idea of Eidach HaNe'eman is not operative in this sphere, because an Eidach can only help you in instances where there's a suffix. And once you enter an arena where there's no suffix present, the whole principle of Eidach, it's not a question of how much barrier can he overcome or how much Ne'emanus do we give him, how much do we view this clash of forces between the Eidach on the one hand and the Chazakah on the other. The whole principle of Eidach HaNe'eman B'Yisurim is not operative in a case of Chazaka. It would be like coming to a place where there's a Chazaka and saying, Sfeika de Rabbanan l'kula. It's like, my friend, you need to spend a few more years in yeshiva. There's no Safek here. There's no Sfeika de Rabbanan l'kula to apply, because the Chazaka has already, for all intents and purposes, answered the question for us. And perhaps that's why the Eidach is not Ne'eman as well. Now, this could explain a number of other phenomena. But because we only have a few minutes, let's just see some of the striking Lashonos. Let's just see like at least one striking Lashon in the Rambam. In source number 7. If we look at source number 7, the Rambam says as follows. This is Eidos Perakei, fifth parak of the Rambam's Oval Eidos. The Rambam says the following. V'shnei mekomos ha'emina Torah Eidachar. There are two places where the Torah believes in Eidachar. V'sota, shalotishta meimarim. If you have an Eidachar, this is one of the limudim at the beginning of Masechta Sota, which Tafiyomi will be starting soon, that if you have an Eidachar who witnesses the stira, witnesses the tumah of a sota with having an affair, then she doesn't drink the meimarim. She doesn't go through that whole process in the Beis Hamikdash, even if just an eidach asserts that there was infidelity. And also, egla arufa shlote arev kumosha be'arnu. In the case of egla arufa as well, you have an eidach who saw the whole incident. That's going to be enough to remove the whole egla arufa, the whole pseudo karban that's done in the instance of finding a corpse and not knowing who's responsible. And then he adds v'chein midivrehan, and similarly midrabanan be'edos isha. Similarly, we believe a woman who testifies that her husband has died. This is the context of the Gemara Yevamos Daf Peches that Tosfos referencing before is actually discussing what we call Eidos Isha B'Mizas Baila. A woman asserts that her husband died. So we have two places where the Torah believes in Eidah Chon Tel Raisa level, Sota and Egla Arufa, and the Darabanan, they believed her where? In the context where she testifies that her husband died. What problem was there in the Rambam? What problem is there in the Rambam? It should be obvious. No, fine. We believe them in those cases. We'll accept that now. We're not going to get into the lumbus of that. Did the Rambam leave anything out on this list? Forget about Fanei Nechtav. We have a whole area of halacha. Namely, what? Our whole sugya is? And he gives you these narrow instances where the Torah believes in Eidachad, Egla Arufa and Sota and Misas Abal because of Ulok, Komakum Shaminator Eidachad, Rekan Shnaim. You give me these arcane examples where an Eidachad is Ne'eman, I have a much better one for you, Rambam. What should you tell me? Eidachad is Ne'eman, B'Isurin. The Rambam certainly agrees with that principle. I assure you he didn't forget the principle of Eidachad Ne'eman B'Isurin. And yet, with the Rambam and Hevel's Eidos is discussing the cases where we actually believe in Eidachad, what does he give you? He gives you these three isolated examples. Why does he do that? Why doesn't he say Eidachad Ne'eman B'Isurin? Because it's quite possible that for the Rambam, Eidachad Ne'eman B'Isurin is a bit of a misnomer. It doesn't mean that we actually believe the Eid. What does it mean? It believes that when an Eidachad is operative in instances of Safek, we are licensed to follow the Eidachad. But it's not like the Torah actually granted him Ne'emanus the way it does in these select cases. If you look in source number 5, just backtracking for a moment, if you have Eid Echad Omer Mace, this is going back to the Misas HaBa'al case that we discussed a moment ago. You have an Eid Echad who says that the husband died. Him knew Rabbanan Kevetrei. The Rabbanan believed him like two Eidim. Uchid de Ula. This is the line of Ula that I was referencing a moment ago. Ula is the one who declared this. To Amar Ula, because Ula declared, Kol Makom She'emina Torah Eid Echad, Harei Kan Shnayim. In any case, when the Torah believed in Eid Echad, it is as if two witnesses have showed up. That's what Ula says. Whenever the Torah believes in Eid Echad, Harei Kan Shnayim. Let me ask you a question. Does Ula apply to Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Yisurim? Or does it not? Does it only apply to Mises Abba? Look at the Ritva in source number 6. Avilu kishabal Eid Echad belvad be'chisho she'arishon chashuv kishnayim. Nirin advarim kedivrei rizal de'davka be'edos davar she'be'erba de'bal yishnayim she'aminu lezek yishnayim. Aval be'isurin de'alma de'sagi b'chad. He says this whole principle of Eid Echad, we're not going to go into the exact nafkamina that he describes just because of the shortness on time. But the Ritva says this whole idea that an Eid Echad is treated like Shnayim, that which Ula says, Kol makom she'emina Torah Eid Echad arekan Shnayim, does not apply to Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Yisurin. Whatever nafkaminas there may be of treating an Eid Echad like Shnayim, it doesn't exist in Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Yisurin. In Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Yisurin, he's only treated as one Eid. The Lashon of Ula was kol makom she'emina Torah Eid Echad arekan Shnayim. In any place where the Torah believes the Eid Echad B'Yisurin is the Torah principle, right? Whether it's Safrala or it's Rashi Svara, right? In any event, it's the Torah principle. In any case where the Torah believed in Eid Echad, it's arekan Shnayim. It says the Ritva, but not Yisurin. How do you explain that? So I think once again, the Hezbo would likely be that this whole notion of Ne'eman is perhaps not a form of Ne'emanus at all. We don't actually believe the Eid Echad in these cases. We're licensed to follow his lead because those are just some of the klalei safek that operate within halacha, but he doesn't have true ne'emanus at all. So within this principle of Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Yisurin, we're left with a real range as to what the Eid Echad is. On the strongest level, we're saying that an Eid Echad is really an Eid. He has the koach of Eidos. He may not be able to be Mechayev Mamon to the full extent of Shnayim Eidim, but as we said earlier tonight, he can be Mechayev Mamon in some sense, and he really has the force of Eidos. On the polar opposite extreme, we're saying he doesn't really have even Ne'emanus. We don't believe him at all, and he just operates within the realm of Klalei Safek, that when we have a Safek, we're licensed to follow his example, even though we don't really believe the truth value of the statements he's making. In the middle, we have the possibility that perhaps he doesn't rise to the level of Eidos, but he does have some form of halachic ne'emanus. You end up with a rich range of conceptual views of this principle of Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Yisurin. Shkoyach, Chavra. We'll be Ezra Hashem pick up the Sharos after Chag HaPesach.
The woman is the gebet of her, the gebet, she's testifying on herself.
So in that case, that's what the Gemara Yevamos comes into play.
One day, good for Ben Noach, against Ben Noach.